Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning comes from the Christmas story. It's Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In Christ Jesus, the newborn King, dear fellow redeemed. It is so amazing how many people think that they know the real meaning of Christmas, but they miss the main point. Countless millions of people celebrated last night and are celebrating today, but they have no understanding of the birth of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. Unfortunately, some who think they do really don't. A couple nights ago, Ruth and I were watching the evening news, and just before commercial, they said, Stay tuned for the real message of Christmas. And that's not interesting. Commercial, they came back, and the real message of Christmas, some church, and there's other churches that have joined in the last few years, have called their members to come to church during the Christmas season and light blue candles in remembrance and thanksgiving to loved ones, past or present, who have done wonderful things for them in their life. Nostalgic? Yeah. Touching? You bet. The real message of Christmas? Not even close. In the holiday worship section of the Wisconsin State Journal, I think it was a religious editor, wrote an article too about the real message of Christmas. Let's read what he said. At heart, Christmas is about a child of humble means who was born in a stable, a child of light and wisdom who would grow up to become a symbol of love and hope, whose spiritual message would electrify the world and last through thousands of years, generations of searching souls who use this season to reconnect in myriad ways to the message. That sounds closer. Then he retold the story of the baby being born, the angels, the shepherds, kind of mixed it up because they had the wise men coming at the same time as the shepherds seeing Jesus in the stable, which is not accurate. And then he concludes with these words. So this Christmas story, told for more than 2,000 years, begins the journey of Jesus Christ and his message of love, peace, and forgiveness. Love your neighbor, every neighbor you come across, be they humble or grand. This is the great truth of Christmas and of Christ. But it is a truth one can feel good about, even if one doesn't believe in any of this Christmas stuff. So Merry Christmas, no matter what you believe. May you find the magic of the season. May you feel love, know peace, and experience joy. Wow. So close, and yet so far away. This morning, we're going to hear not from an evening news story or a religious editor of a newspaper, but from an angel. Just what is so special about Christmas? And the answer is, unto us, a son is born. But no ordinary little baby boy. This son is love eternal, in flesh and blood, in humanity. It's God's Son, who is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. To the shepherds, that indeed was good news of great joy. Here is the Messiah, finally come. He's arrived. The fulfillment of all the promises from Adam and Eve all the way down for 4,000 years, it's now a reality. The long-awaited Savior was here. Now, I know all of us here this evening have read or heard or recited the Christmas story many, many, many times. But no matter how many times we read it, or hear it, or recite it, we can never fully comprehend, understand, appreciate, or grasp the great love that our Heavenly Father had for us when He sent His only Son into this world to become a human being for you and me, the God-man, Savior of mankind. Even though mankind rebelled against God over and over and over and again, they tried to rid themselves of God, they tried to forget about God, God never forgot about mankind. He never forgot His promise of grace to human beings. That promise of grace and mercy and forgiveness was fulfilled when God sent His Son, Jesus, into this world to take my place, to take your place, be born as a little baby some 6,000 years ago, promised first to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, I want to think over those first 4,000 years when God saw how corrupt and sinful and evil and selfish and self-centered and self-righteous puny man was, not only before the flood, but even after the flood, that God would have thought to Himself, I'm not going to keep this promise. I'm not going to give everlasting life to such ingrates. I'm going to wash my hands of them and start all over. Who would have blamed Him? We would have done that a long time ago. But therein lies the difference between God and us, between God's grace and our impatience, between God's mercy and our reason and our expectations. God didn't think and act that way because He couldn't, because God so loved the world. It was His perfect love for us sinful, corrupt people that led Him to promise in the first place to send His Son. It was that same perfect love for us sinners that led Him to fulfill that promise and send His Son. Love to love this people in desperate need of love. And that's grace. Undeserved love in Christ Jesus. And that's what's so amazing and so great about God's love. It's not dependent upon us. It's not dependent upon us loving Him first or upon any of our actions. It's all given to us from God's loving heart. What did the angels say to the shepherds? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This good news was for everybody. Yes, even for Herod, who tried to kill the baby Jesus. This Son, born in Bethlehem, is the only Savior. He is the one and only one who is to come and has come to save every single person ever conceived in this world. And we're assured of that by the angel saying, give Him a name. Give Him the name Jesus, which literally means Jehovah saves or Savior. And then He says, also call Him, His title, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One. This baby was the Anointed One, the Chosen One by God the Father to be the fulfillment of all His promises, to be the Serpent Slayer, the Death Destroyer, the Sin Remover, our righteousness. The angel gives more proof that this Son is more than just a little baby. He says He is going to be called Christ the Lord. Jesus is the Lord Jehovah. He is the Almighty God, ruler of heaven and earth. He has all power in heaven and earth. His dominion and authority is throughout eternity. It's interesting to note that you very rarely find the name Jesus all alone when He's being spoken of. Almost always, Paul, Peter, and John in their epistles use the full term, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. or our Lord Jesus. This little baby, born in Bethlehem, is the Lord, the Master, the Ruler. We see that in his life. He lived a perfect life. He performed miracles. He died and raised himself, and he raised the dead. He gives life to those who believe in him, a resurrection to everlasting life. And as he ascended to heaven, he now rules all things throughout all time. This baby is the Lord of glory. So, what's so special about Christmas? Unto us, a son is born, who is the Savior, Christ the Lord. But there's one more point that the angels make for us about why Christmas is so special. The angels, suddenly a whole group of angels, a whole sky full of angels, said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Christmas brought peace. Not worldly peace. There's still war. Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, bloodshed in the Middle East. There's still skirmishes throughout Africa. Terrorism all around the world. Crime and murders in the streets and alleys of our own country. But Jesus did bring peace. Peace on this earth. It's God's peace. The peace between God and us. Scripture calls that reconciliation. We read in Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And Paul writes in Colossians, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Isn't that amazing? It's we humans who destroyed that perfect harmony. We humans destroyed that oneness, that peace that we had with God the Father. It's we humans who fell into sin and therefore brought about that warfare with God and brought death to ourselves. It's we humans who built that wall of sin between us and our Heavenly Father. It's we humans who alienated and separated ourselves from God and became in league with Satan. And it's God who seeks the reconciliation. It's God who seeks to have peace with these sinners like us and himself. It's mind-boggling. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling, making peace with the world to himself, not imputing, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed to us this word of reconciliation." That's the message of Christmas. According to Webster, the word reconciliation means the agreement of things opposite or inconsistent. And that's a perfect picture of our reconciliation, isn't it? What could be more opposite than the holy, righteous, ever-living God and corrupt, spiritually dead, sinful human beings? How can these two opposites ever become one? How could these two inconsistent things ever be at peace? Only through Jesus, the Christ. For Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, who is perfect, to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him." Jesus took our sins upon himself, and he gave to us righteousness, so that now we can stand before God the Father blameless, righteous in his sight. What a great gift exchange. The greatest Christmas gift exchange ever in the history of the world. We receive righteousness. Jesus receives our sins. We receive life. Jesus is damned and has to die on the cross. Jesus is our peace with God. He's earned for us the gift of forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation, security and comfort of knowing that sin's been paid for. We have peace with our Heavenly Father. Heaven is our home. Not hope to, cross our fingers, knock on wood. It is our home. If we die today, believing in Jesus, we have eternal life. Assured, completed fact. Every time we hear this Christmas story, may we remember that little baby there. Jesus is the Lord. He's the ruler of heaven and earth. He is Christ, our Lord and Savior. Whenever you look at the manger too, you must always look what's behind it. The cross. The cross looming above the manger. For the manger, the cradle, without the cross, has no meaning at all. For it's on the cross where Jesus earned for us that reconciliation, that peace that we have with our Savior. This was the reason for Jesus' birth. To live a perfect life for us. To die to pay for all of our sins. Pay our debt in full. To rise again to assure us of a resurrection to everlasting life. To destroy all of our enemies. Sin, death, Satan, and hell. That's the good news for all of mankind. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. That is what is so special about Christmas. This is the Christ, our God and Lord, who in all need shall aid afford. He will himself your Savior be from all your sins to set you free. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.